get our study now. So we're on page 150. Let me get close enough to the mic here. In our second volume study. And we're talking about the harvest work and the flaming fire of the destruction of tares. And we'd like to have the second paragraph on page 150 read, where it begins with "in flaming fire." And then I'm going to ask someone to read volume 1, page 317. I'll tell you which paragraphs it is. But let's have, let's see. How about Sister Arlene? Sister Arlene, would you read that paragraph? Actually, would you read the both paragraphs? The one over on page 151, as well as the one that begins on page 150.
In flaming fire. In flaming fire, the next of these symbolic statements can be readily understood if the meaning of the symbols, fire, etc., already explained, volume 1, page 317, be borne in mind. It reads, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them, and that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Expressed literally, we understand this to signify that in the day, the millennial age, our Lord's presence will be revealed or manifested to the world from his position of spiritual control, heaven, in the wrath and punishment then visited upon evil and evildoers. It will be consuming wrath, as indicated by the symbol fire, and will leave neither root nor branch of evil systems, error, oppression, or willful sinners. And all the proud and all evildoers shall be burned up as stubble in the millennial day. It is our in our beginning, in the harvest period, this fire will burn very furiously, consuming pride and evil now of such rank growth. Happy those who will surrender their pride and evil to be destroyed, that they themselves will not be destroyed also in the second death, as some registers will eventually be, resistors will eventually be during the millennial age. It is of this time that we read, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Malachi 4:1.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Arlene, for reading that. And I'm going to ask Sister Sharon to read this reference to the volume one, this and that. Okay.
First volume, page 317. The fire. You want me to start up above?
The fire. Yeah, start.
This fire of God's zeal is a symbol and forcible one, resenting the intensity of the trouble and the destruction which will envelop the whole earth. That it is not a literal fire, as some suppose. is evident from the fact that the people remain after it. And they are blessed. That the people who remain are not saints, as some would suggest, is evident from the fact that they are then turned to serve the Lord, whereas the saints are turned, converted already. And then a little
one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We mentioned this as an offset to the argument of some who regard the fire as literal and who claim that the literal earth is to be melted and so forth. These two fit their theory claim that the people here mentioned are the saints who, after the earth has melted and cooled off, will return to earth and build houses and inhabit them, plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them, and long enjoy the work of their hands. They consider the present few years as training or preparation for inheriting, and forget that it would be completely lost in the aerial experience of the thousand or more years of waiting for the earth to cool off. Cooling to their theory. This is a serious mistake and results from too literal an interpretation of parables, symbols, and dark sayings of our Lord and the apostles.
That goes to the next page.
And the prophets following up the same error. These claim that there will be no mountains and seas after the fire, failing to see that all these, as well as the fire, are symbols. First volume, page 317. Over.
Thank you very much, Sister Sharon and Sister Arlene. So, brethren, what would you like to highlight on this? Sister Arlene, did you have anything that stands out to you and what you read?
Well, no, because we have known for a long time that fire often in the Bible is a symbol and it doesn't mean literal fire. And what Sharon was reading about there be no mountains or oceans or anything, I don't think the earth can function as a place for people, because the mountains and the ocean all had to do with the weather system. And I think if there was no ocean, the earth is 2/3 water. Understand? There would be no weather system, and it wouldn't really be habitable for humans or any kind of life if the earth was really like that.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Arlene. Yes, many in the nominal systems don't understand that this fire is symbolic. And I remember speaking to those at the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital when I was doing my CO work, and they said, oh, yeah, the earth's going to burn up for 1,000 years, and Satan will wander around and see what he has, what the results are. It's very unreasonable. Okay, any other thoughts anybody wants to highlight here? Any else? Brother Jerry and then Sister Margaret.
I just would reference something that is said in this paragraph that was read, and that is that the fire consumes pride and evil. Happy those who will surrender their pride, and evil will be destroyed. There is a text in Proverbs 8, verse 13, and from Rotherham translation it reads, "The reverence of Jehovah is to hate wickedness, pride, arrogance, and every way of wickedness, and a mouth as perverse things do I hate. So the scriptures oftentimes target evil and pride. And so this is what is consumed. But Brother Russell makes a very interesting point that it is not the people that are destroyed because they return to give reverence to the Heavenly Father. Over.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification, Brother Jerry. And how thankful we are that our Heavenly Father, in his wisdom, shows us that it's the pride and the arrogance and the evil ways of people that are going to be destroyed, not the people themselves. Sister Margaret.
Yes, as an extra confirmation for us, the even Strong's, Second Thessalonians 1:8, flaming fire, the in Strong's 4442 says a primary word, fire, literally or figuratively, and that's the same thing in the Old Testament, Isaiah 66:16. Strong 784, primitive word fire, literally or figuratively. So both Old and New Testament Strongs give that thought. And then I was also looking at, well, I'm sure we're familiar with it, but on this point, 2 Peter 3, verse 10, 12 and 13, maybe I'll read. 2 Peter 3, 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then 12 and 13, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that's a confirmation of some of our favorite verses in Revelation 21. So really contextually it's supported and by Strong's definition. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sister Margaret. I was hoping somebody would bring that scripture out in 2 Peter 3, and where Peter talks about the comparing it with the deluge of the flood. But as Sister Sharon brought out, they're still remaining after the fire. The earth is not going to be destroyed. So it's not literal. And Brother Bill or Sister Donna?
Go ahead. I was looking at the comments on that 2 Peter 3:10. There's so many wonderful comments. With fervent heat, it says the heat of public discussion and investigation. I think we see that sometimes on the news. And then I had a scripture on pride. It's it's from this little book, Thy Word is Truth. In the back, there's a whole bunch of scriptures. And this one on pride, Isaiah 2:12-11. The day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Thank you.
Thank you for those scriptures, Sister Robin. I mean, Sister Donna.
Okay.
I was looking at Sister Donna here.
Okay.
Brother Igor? Are you hearing Brother Igor?
It's a little bit soft. I know this microphone. It's a little bit softer. You do not hear me?
We do, but very slowly.
Brother Jerry's bringing it.
This is way better. Okay. I will probably go a little more simple with my words here. We understand that Jesus is present. Some people are thinking that Jesus will come. It's a future, right? We understanding that Jesus is already present on his second advent. And this was happened in 1874. Okay. Now, what we have here, speaking about this flaming fire, that means when someone is present, he's very active. And this symbol of fire, it's a really good action. And slowly down, we understand this is not physical or literal fire. It's something that is burning, which is not an actual fire. It's literal. It's symbolically. Now, when it says it will be revealed, if I'm saying that right, revealed, it means, what is it? Shown or manifested. People were feel some differences, which is happening right now outside in the world, but they don't know exactly what's happening. They see the difference, they feel the difference, but they don't know what's happening exactly. So with my simple words, I'm trying to say that the steps, how actually the presence of the Lord and his action is working right now. But the outside people don't see and don't understand this. That's what we're saying about this flaming fire and all these actions, what is happening right now. Well, if I'm okay to say, we're finishing my topic specifically, what's that mean? It's the truth. It's something that it was for a while like covered, hidden. Now it's starting to see, oh, this is different. Oh, I thought it's differently. Now I can see that makes sense with some other things. Specifically, it's speaking about the truth, the light. A lot of people outside nominal church speaking about kingdom. Some of them, they're changing their thoughts about hell, that people are going to burn forever there. They don't say this very accurate, so they're changing their mind. What's that mean? This is a fire. It's burning their thoughts. It's burning their understanding. And this will be deeply and larger, till actually will be everything in dust. There will not be any more of this error.
It will. Thank you, Brother Igor. Yes, it's starting out slowly, but it's progressing, and it's going to become more intense as the years go on, as this time goes on. Yes, and right, and the fire is such an appropriate symbol, because you know when you start a little campfire, you just have the embers, and then eventually you have a big conflagration, but that hasn't come yet. That's more towards the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. But we're seeing it, and it's becoming more intense and more intense. Brother Walter.
I appreciated all the comments. Scripture came to mind from the Zephaniah 3:8-9 that was quoted about turning to the people of pure language after this fire has done its work. You know, many people look upon God as very vengeful, hateful, individual, and I'm often reminded of that Ezekiel 18:23 of Ezekiel. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? And the whole spirit of our Heavenly Father and his Son, and even as expressed in Luke 16:10, of the whole heavenly creation, 16:10 of Luke, likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So, again, it just puts, even though behind a frowning facial expression, behind is the smiling face of our dear Heavenly Father and His Son as they do this transformation work in the world. Over.
Thank you, Brother Walter. Thank you for those texts which Brother Bill put on the in the chat. Thank you. Sister Sharon?
Brother Bill, I'd like to make comments and read Malachi 4:1. That's at the end of... Is that okay?
I asked for that. Yes, yes, fine.
Do you want somebody else?
No, go ahead.
Okay, Malachi 4:1. I'm going to read it as it is, and then I have a comment from the comments. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, which is the evil systems, burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now, when you see that, if you read it literally, you're seeing fire. You're seeing that it is a complete destruction, because it's saying that there's no root nor branch. So that means that everything has been wiped away from the earth. But if you know what is being said, and we're thankful for the comments and Brother Russell's writing on this, in the thought about burn as an oven is the fire of God's indignation against unrighteousness during the day of Christ. Well, of course, that's the second presence. And then if you go down a little bit further in the comments, it says melting and destroying the present earth. That means human society is now organized under Satan's control. So that's the organizations that are being destroyed, not the earth itself. And then down a little bit further, I'm still in the comments, that do wickedly, they will be wicked people in the earth all at the time of the Lord's kingdom is established. And the stubble is under the feet of the righteousness shall burn them up, all the evil systems and the errors will, and the willful sinners. So, burning is not, actual. It's, thoughts about what will happen to the systems. Over.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. Thank you very much. Brother Igor, did you have a thought?
I forgot one thing to say, and Sister Sharon with the comment just remembered me. It's speaking about this, it'll burn the system and everything, right? It's so interesting and it's so good that if we're understanding that the system will be burned and not actually individuals, not actually persons, not actually people. So it's so opposite. The system are burning. Everything what was thinking wrong will be caught completely. But what about the individual? They will be so clear, clean. When? By the end of the millennial time, everything will be ready for the kingdom, for everlasting kingdom. But it's like a preparation. It's stepping. And the parallel with other hand, the people are preparing themselves. We're seeing in Isaiah 35 how actually the mankind will be changed. And Luchika is saying here, their hearts will be changed. Satan will be bound, will not be anymore who will come to you, will say something error or something to twist your mind opposite. Everything will be in accordance, because in the Jerusalem will be some higher people, which is the prophets. They will learn perfectly. I don't know, much stronger than AI, whatever it is right now. We don't know how it will be, but it will be something that the people are going to like. And this is preparation for the kingdom, everything together. Not going to hell or die. You see how opposite it is and how people are thinking?
Yeah, it's beautiful, Brother Igor, and we're so blessed to be here at the end of the age to see all this taking place. I saw a hand from the Ostranders, but it went down. Brother Bill or Sister Donna?
Go ahead.
Well, I have a scripture, but I think it might be more applying to those who profess consecration. But it's 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I think the comments kind of go along with mostly those who profess consecration, but I think he also has comments about the injustice seen in the world. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Donna. Sister Luchica, we need a microphone for Sister Luchica.
Very short and simple. The fire means trial, trouble, tribulation. And we had a lot in the world now. Even us, we are tried by trials. We have to burn our bad qualities, the fleshly one, and to have the fruits of the spirit, that is righteousness, goodness. And now the people will learn in this big trouble to change their hearts, their mind, their wishes, to do the best. And that means that the bad one will burn and will come another, the new one, which will be God's will, the qualities, the good qualities. Thank you.
Not hearing, Brother Bill.
It'd help if I switched it down. Thank you, Brother Bill. Brother Brad.
Thank you, Brother Bill. I wanted to ask a question on these verses, a couple of words that are used in the 2 Thessalonians 1. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 1, 4, it says that Paul is thinking of them and their faith, their endurance, because of the persecutions and the tribulations that they received. And I haven't read this recently, but I recall studying some time back that the persecutions that came on Thessalonica were pretty intense, and that many of the brethren were put to death in those persecutions. And so we come down to where we're reading, and in verse 7, it says, so in light of that persecution that you've received, rest with us. Because when Jesus will be revealed from heaven, it will be to take vengeance and to punish. In verse 8. So my question is, this is talking about, is this talking about Jesus's anger? Is it talking about revenge? That's what vengeance means. Is it talking about his anger and revenge and to punish the evildoers? And I think I don't expect that I'll hear that yes, that's the reason. But I'd like to know, well, what is the explanation then? What thoughts are there behind this idea of, and again, in context, it's talking about the persecutions that had been visited upon the Thessalonican church. What does it mean? Is this talking about God and Jesus coming with anger? I don't think so. But what do I'd like to have some comments on that question, Brother Bill.
Thank you. Thank you for the question, Brother Brad. The comments do bring out that those are God and Jesus' judgments against unrighteousness. And any other thoughts anyone wants to bring out here? I think Sister Margaret touched on that with the meaning of the Greek word with her comments. But anyone? What? Brother Walt.
Thank you, Brother Bill. I was thinking the Day of Jehovah is the day we're living in now. And the Heavenly Father and Jesus are working a united front. Isaiah 42:13-14 paint a very visual picture here of the destructive process. Isaiah 42:13, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. And I think the system of things is what's going to be destroyed, put down, and we can see all around us that process beginning and pretty much in the middle of. But as the other texts of our Heavenly Father's character show, that it's not vented at individuals, so to speak, in a vengeful way, but that the whole system is rotten to the core. And as much as any individual embraces that and is using that system, they will feel more pain and difficulties, whereas others, I like the comments, the text that Sister Sharon read, Malachi 4:1, that the comments bring the tares will be destroyed, but the humanity will not be.
Right.
That that which is evil and wrong will be put to an end, and is being put to an end, but the individuals, depending on how enmeshed they are in this evil and works, will feel more of the heat. Those others, Zephaniah 2:3, that are just kind of stuck with the world here, they will be hid because of their heart attitude and their love of the good things. And their professions might be burned. They might no longer say, you know, I'm a devout Catholic and will hail the Pope and all that, but they will come to their senses more by this fire. I hope I haven't rambled on there too much. Over.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brother Walt. I see a hand from Brother Tim and then Brother Igor. And I see Brother Tim McMahon's on too. Yeah. Brother Tim?
Yes. I think if we read the next two paragraphs, it'll talk about the Lord's wrath and vengeance.
Well, we'll get there, Brother Tim.
Okay, you. I'm just saying, you know, we can finish that discussion after we read those two paragraphs.
Okay, Brother Igor? The microphone? Where is it now? Oh.
Brother Brad, if I'm not answering to your question, please stop me anytime. What I understood for my simple mind is that Heavenly Father is in control. Now, can I use the word is using Jesus as a general? So can we see and understand that millennial time, it's still a process of destruction or preparation for the eternal kingdom, which will be next, which are seeing on the chart, age to come? Yes, that means to me here, when it says verse 8, in flaming on fire, I don't want to repeat myself. What about system and this preparation? But my point is, Jesus came second time, different body, as a spiritual. And he is taking the control, and he's destroying this earthly pieces, where earthly, which was established way before by Satan. I think that's the main key understanding, that Heavenly Father is in control, and he put Jesus to manage this, to prepare for the kingdom, which will be in the future, as we see on the chart, ages to come. Other than that, I think we pretty much repeat all this, and I'm not sure exactly what actually Brother Brad is looking for.
Okay. Wait a minute. Thank you, Brother Igor. And I wanted to have Brother David read Hebrews 12, 26 through 29. Would you read that, Brother David? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 through 29.
Okay, to the end of the chapter. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother David. Brother Brad? Do these comments and scriptures help? What do you think, Brother Brad?
Okay, thank you for the thoughts. I guess, you know, I kind of go back to the earlier part of the discussion to help me answer the question in my mind. The earlier part of the discussion was much based on the metaphors of fire and destruction. I see it as being more of a blending of literal and metaphor. And I think that what the verse is telling us about the vengeance, about the punishment, is a matter of sowing and reaping. It's really, I think it's telling us about self-inflicted punishment. Humanity has made the capacity foolishly, they have made the capacity to destroy the planet, well, life on the planet, not the planet, but life on the planet many times over. I was just reading an article that was talking about the arms race, the nuclear arms race, and how China is pressing on with it. They have somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 nuclear warheads. Russia has about the same number. The United States has somewhere around 3,000. There are enough nuclear-tipped weapons to just annihilate everything of life on the planet. I'm not saying that that is going to be used or suggesting that. But I think something will come of it that will annihilate, that will, it will level cities. I think it will bring the planet kind of to a point more of ready for rebuilding. And of course, you know, when we were talking earlier about the idea of that, you know, there will still be people, but people can be resurrected. So even if they're destroyed in the time of trouble, they still have, the Lord still has the ability to resurrect. So when I come back to the Lord's vengeance, it really, I think, is discovered in man's inhumanity to man. That's how it's really carried out. It really is a matter, as I said, of sowing and reaping. And it's not that the Lord gets mad or angry with things, but humanity's capacity and what they're going to do to themselves in the time of trouble that will bring down the systems that we've been talking about, that will be a outcome of what the Lord foresaw, foreknew about the fire, about the destruction. It won't be the Lord doing it. It'll just be the Lord letting humanity take its natural course of sowing and reaping. The outcome will be, I think, a lot of destruction. And it will be destroying the pride, yes. But that has to be precipitated by some other literal destruction. So I look at it as being, I read these verses as being symbolic and teaching us a lesson, but having their literal component to it as well. But it's not coming from God. It's not coming from Jesus. It's them allowing man to do their own work of destruction. So that's what I'm thinking about this, Brother Bill. Over, back to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Brad. And Brother Igor has a thought. We need a microphone.
Sorry, Brother Brad. Based on what you're saying, please help us to understand Daniel chapter 12, 1 in connection with your comment.
Brother Brad, did you hear Brother Igor?
Yeah, I did. Well, I look at that, and I look at texts in Matthew as explaining the same thing, that the Lord will stop the destruction at a certain point in the earth. He will step in and bring it to a conclusion. So, you know, the only thing the Lord really, I think, wants to have is his goal is to break the pride and to use man's own inhumanity to man to teach them their lesson that they need God, that they need him in their life. They need him as their director and governor through Jesus. So Matthew 12, 1, and I think it comes up, Daniel 12, 1, I think it comes up again in Matthew, where it says, if those days were not shortened, there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So that's, I think, it all unfolds. It's just part of the whole process of the permission of evil. You know, in Brother Russell's day, they didn't have nuclear weapons. They were developing horrible conventional weapons and using gas agents to poison one another. So that was horrible. And the World War One was such a horrible episode of human history. But I think he's saying that as bad as that was, the time of trouble will be worse than any time that has ever been since there was a nation or ever shall be again. So this is like the grand finality to it. That's how I would think, Brother Igor.
Thank you, Brother Brad. And I see a hand from Brother Bill and Sister Robin.
Go ahead,
Brother Bill. I know.
Oh.
Yeah.
You want me to go ahead?
Yes.
I was thinking of Joel 2. Joel
yes.
2, verse 2, is the Lord's presence, a day of darkness and a day of clouds, that the Lord's presence, a great people, that's the Lord's great army and the rebellion that will occur. And then the third verse is comforting. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as a garden of Eden before them. The fire will destroy what's evil, and then the kingdom will be here with the garden of Eden before them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Donna. And that shows that there can be destruction in this end of the age, and that can be literal, but the destruction that's talked about in the millennial age during the at the beginning of the mediatorial phase will be to destroy the pride and the arrogance. Sister Robin?
I have a story about my backyard. In mm-hmm. my backyard, I feed birds, and they like to eat blackberries. The blackberries grow. They are prickers, and they grow through roots. They grow through their seeds. And I've been fighting them for years, and they keep on coming back. So this one sentence that's in this paragraph says, the fire will leave neither root nor branch. The point is that these different governments and systems, they might get destroyed, and guess what comes back? A variation. Some, we hear it all the time, like, oh, well, if this government collapses, will it be worse? Daniel lived through how many different kings? Worse than the next? All I'm saying is, I think what this is, the systems, it has to really, really be destroyed so there won't be an opportunity for it to come back. I have a scripture from Proverbs. It's Proverbs 6, and it's 16 to 19. And I think it's reflecting what the systems are promoting. It goes, these are the six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongues, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to do evil, a false witness that utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. This is what the Lord's destroying. The systems, man is destroying it, what Brother Bear was saying. But they have to go so that no root, no branch will come back from this evil. Over.
Thank you, Sister Robin. Very good comments, and thank you for those scriptures. So we'll have to end it there, brethren, and begin next time on the second chapter, second paragraph on page 151. And as Brother Tim mentioned, there'll be more discussion, more description of this fire and God's vengeance.